You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Deborah Mills. Deborah is a gifted healer, ascension guide, and international teacher who has been involved in healing arts for over 30 years. She is the director of soul-focused healing and teaches 18-month certification programs in the esoteric art of energy medicine and self-mastery through a modern expression of the ancient wisdom teachings. Deborah also assists people in awakening to deeper levels of their divine essence and purpose, navigating from the limitations of the personality into the freedom of the soul aligned with the heart of God. Deborah is also a liaison for the Ascended Masters and has been leading annual Sacred Journey retreats to Mount Shasta since 2008 and serves as an ambassador for the ancient five-dimensional Lemurian community of Telos. You can find out more on her websites, www.soulfocusedhealing.com, or on her other site, www.schoolofhealingandenlightenment.com. So let's welcome her to the show now. Hi, Deborah. How are you?
Hi, Lance. Thank you. I'm very well. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Well, of course, I want to thank David Manning for having mentioned you in the first place, because he's got such good taste and such good discernment in people that are authentic that I always appreciate people that he's recommended.
Yeah, David's a very special one for sure, and a very good friend. So
yes, yes, he is wonderful. Well, let's start a little bit back in time, and maybe you can help us to understand how you were guided onto the path that you are on today.
Well, I think it began, I was searching all my life. You know, when I was young, I was really looking for God, I guess you could say, or what this whole earth journey was about. And then when I was 19, I met a guru, and instead of like going out, I learned to go in. And I started doing yoga as well, and I found that what I was looking for was deep inside of me. It was through my breath. And then the guru would say, you know, God is not outside of you, it is within. And so that was really the beginning of my journey. And I stayed with this guru for 25 years and lived in an ashram for a while. And then I got married and I had a child, and I had three children, and my last child had some learning disabilities. So it really sent me on the path of healing, like, you know, uncovering, like, how do you not accept the limitations of something? Mm-hmm. And so that really started me on my healing journey. But my other journey had begun, you know, years before that. And it hasn't stopped. It's an unfolding all the time.
Right, right. It doesn't end, does it?
It just gets deeper.
Now, with the healing with your child, I'm just curious, did you study different modalities, or did you just intuitively follow your own guidance?
No, somebody suggested I take her to the Upledger Institute for Cranial Sacral Therapy. They had at that time, they had a two-week intensive program, and after the first week, she was pretty much changed. She wrote all her letters backwards, and she rocked a lot. They said she had autistic behavior, but she wasn't autistic. She was just a slow learner. And then they suggested that I take her to an excellent practitioner, Rick Sibley, in Asheville. And so he would come, and he would work with our whole family at our house. And I said to him one day, this is what I want to do when I grow up. And so I had already studied, you know, massage, acupressure therapy with someone who had studied kahuna healing when I was in the ashram. So I had that in my background. But I started learning cranial sacral therapy when I took her to this institute. And I got to work with Dr. Upledger because, you know, I had had a level one class before I got there. And then when I was apprenticing weekly with him for a year, with Rick Sibley, who was a physical therapist, he had gone to an esoteric healing workshop. And he said, you've got to go. This is the most amazing thing I've ever experienced. I had a past life experience, and it's like everything opened up. And so 2 weeks later, a friend from Chapel Hill called and happened to say that Tom Shaver was coming, Dr. Shaver was coming to Chapel Hill, and would I come to an esoteric healing workshop? So I was kind of called, I guess you'd say, into it. But when I was younger, I lived in Carmel Valley, California, and I would go to this esoteric bookstore, and I would sit in front of these blue books, you know, the ancient wisdom teachings, the ones by Dwight Kuhl. And I could hardly understand them, but, you know, I would read a paragraph or two because I was really searching. And then years later, you know, that's the actual training that I ended up doing.
Wow. It's always an amazing story to hear how people follow their path. And it also sounds extremely synchronistic and, you know, as if it had been chosen prior to incarnating here.
Yeah, I guess you could say that that probably is, you know, destiny.
Right, right. Now, how do we jump to 2008, where you become a liaison for the Ascended Masters and also lead retreats to Mount Shasta and the five-dimensional Lemurian community of Telos?
Well, one day I was teaching just a regular level one esoteric healing class, soul-focused healing class in Miami, and this woman came in and she said, have you heard of Telos? And I said no, and she said, because you're teaching what they teach. And so the next day she came in, it was a three-day class, and the next day she came in and she brought me the book Telos 1, 2, and 3 by Aurelia Jones, and I started reading them, and then I ordered them, and I had a friend come and visit me, and by then, I was in the second book, and it talked about going to the Jade Temple. And we're both pretty interdimensional, so I said, I'll read it to you. It was before we had recording on our iPhone.
Right.
I said, I'll read it. Yeah, and I said, I'll read it to you, and you go in, and I'll follow you. And we both had this amazing experience going to the Jade Temple in Telos, and we said, we're going. And I called Aurelia, and it was the year that she was in transition. And she had asked, and I kept waiting for the date, and she had asked her students, two of her students on her deathbed, to lead one group that year, and I was in that group. And I just had such an amazing experience. Like, before I got there, Adama, who's kind of the head of Telos, he's considered the high priest of Telos, an ascended master, he came to me, and I had experiences with ascended masters before, so I just thought that was common. He was checking on the people coming to the group, and then the leader said, no, that doesn't really happen. And I just, everything opened. I mean, I could just see everything, and I saw the Telosians coming out of the rocks and joining our group, and I just had a lot of pretty amazing experiences that year. And at the very end, I went to the top of Mount Shasta, as far as you can go, you know, drive and walk
right.
a little bit. And Adama came to me and he asked me to lead journeys to Mount Shasta, that he would take us further than he's ever taken people before. But
wow.
It turned out that at the time of Lemuria, which is what I found when I was there, I had this strong connection with Adama and I couldn't quite put it together. And I said to my friend, there's something here that's pretty amazing with this being. And then we go on this little vision quest at some point, and my two guides said to me, we each get two Lemurian guides while we're there, and my two guides said, Adama asked us to watch, to take really good care of you, that you were his long-lost daughter. And I just got these major rushes through my body, and then over time, the memories of, at the time of Lemuria, when they were making the choice, they had asked for entrance into the Agartha network through Mount Shasta because they knew Lemuria was going to go and they started building the city. I chose to stay with humanity. Not always sure that was the right choice, but the choice that I made. And so me coming back there and bringing people has been like a real homecoming, really, for both of us, or for the Tolosian family and myself.
Wow. Over the years, have you been able to piece together, or have you discovered the actual stories about what happened between Atlantis and Lemuria?
You know, I honestly don't understand. I only understand it at a particular level.
Uh-huh.
But there was some kind of conflict that went on, because Lemurians were like of the heart,
uh-huh.
and the Atlanteans were of the head.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
really all I know. And I do remember coming in through Lemuria and having a number of lifetimes there, and then my first lifetime coming into Atlantis and getting kind of trapped. And it was at that point, it was through Atlantis, that I think we all started our major karmic stuff that we had to work out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the destruction of Atlantis that really the third and fourth dimensional grid system of the Earth was broken,
yeah.
and we started our descent, and then we had to, like, work our way back from there. So, well, you know, specifically, I'm not that, those memories haven't really come, but I know, I do know the difference between the Lemurian heart and then the way that other people didn't operate from that same fifth dimensional and beyond consciousness.
Right, right. When you started coming into this, you were it was around 2008. Did you then, at that time, hold any significance to 2012? And if so, what were you guided to in relation to the 2012 events?
Well, I had just moved back to Asheville. I had been living in Miami for a number of years, and I just moved back to Asheville in May of 2012. And in September of 2012, right after I got back from Asheville, from Mount Shasta, the Masters came to me, and they asked me to lead a 12-21-12 event, a citywide event to open the City of Light above Asheville. And I'm like, I can't do that. I just got here. And it took me like, you know, I'd always had this thing where I wanted to be invisible. You know, doing the work, but I liked being invisible.
Yeah.
I did do a citywide event when I had just arrived back, you know.
Wow.
The thought of it was intimidating, and it took me about a week or two to process it through, and then I asked two of my friends to do it with me. One
uh-huh.
played music, one did the crystal bowls, and I led the meditation. We had to turn people away. It was a huge event. And then literally, we opened the fifth dimensional city. There's cities of light that got broken, you know, over time, and we literally opened the City of Light above Asheville. And it's interesting because now there's a connection between Mount Shasta and Asheville, because at a fifth-dimensional level, it's all over the world. And then years later, David Manning had invited me a couple years ago to come to London, and we ended up doing it there. It's never like I'm deciding I'm going to do this. It's like, are you sure you want me to do this? These people don't know me, you know. And we just had an amazing group, and we opened the City of Light above London. And there are strategic places around the Earth where these fifth-dimensional cities of light do exist, and they're being reactivated as we begin to reactivate and live from our fifth-dimensional and beyond self.
Well, that certainly is wonderful news, because I'll tell you, those who are following the machinations of the dark side could get very discouraged about what they're doing, and of course, we're assured that they're stumbling and that they will not succeed, but of course, all of that hasn't been written in stone yet, and it depends upon choices that people make here. And it does seem that the world is particularly sleepy right at the moment. But then that could be
It's very sleepy, but at the same time, I'm seeing people wake up like I have never seen it before. Like,
wow.
There are literally two worlds going on simultaneously. Mm-hmm. And it's like, which one do you choose to live in, you know? And it's like, do you choose to buy duality within yourself, good, bad, right, wrong, what, dark, light?
Right.
Or do you choose to hold your higher self in all dimensions of your higher self, connected to source, through your divinity, your I am presence within the heart, and begin to expand and open your field to see the magnificence that's going on? You begin to literally see in the unseen world, and you see what's happening. And I think what's going on today is actually pretty amazing. And yet what we're transforming, each of us, is the ego that's lived a reality separate from the truth of who we are, our original consciousness. Mm-hmm. And we came to Earth eons ago with that original consciousness. And I say that because most of us are, that would probably even listen to a call like this, are star seeds. We came from someplace else originally.
Mm-hmm. Right,
we
right.
We had an unlimited consciousness. We had a purity within us that we knew how to operate from. Yes, many, and I don't want to diminish the fact that many did a lot of galactic things and there was distortion on those realms. But a lot of us came to Earth with a really pure consciousness and a pure heart. But in order to survive, the ego structure started to build and created a whole reality separate from that innate consciousness, that divine consciousness that is still alive within every human being, with deep within the heart, deep within the monadic energy of the soul. And we are literally breaking through to understand that consciousness again. But the ego has really held its resistance, its restrictions, its doubts, its fears, its blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But once that begins to see that there's really an original aspect of the self, when, you know, again, whether we call it the divine, the I am presence, the spark of God within us, whatever, our own God self.
Yes.
Deep underneath all the layers of our humanity, and really our humanness is woven this fabric that we call our human fabric, for lack of a better term, and it has all of it stuck in it until we begin to unravel that fabric and once again begin to see who we are beyond all of it. And then we open up again to the magnificence of unlimited potential, what's going on beyond what the TV or my iPhone tells me is going on. I mean, I do follow a little bit what the head of our country is doing now because it's like an absurd, I don't know, movie or sitcom or something. I think it's fabulous.
Or cartoon.
It's unbelievable, you know? And
yes.
It's magnifying something that is on the planet. You know,
yes.
It's really expressing what's been deeply hidden in the unconsciousness in humanity.
Yes.
And yet many of us are mirroring the other part and living a whole other reality. And I honestly have no idea what's going to happen, but I know we're all going to survive it.
Well, I feel the same way. And, of course, I mean, I've been doing a lot of different things over the years that have guided me towards the multidimensional aspects and coming from the heart. And I'm beginning to see things that are just so magical. And it could be something right in front of you, like a crystal that you've had for 20 years, and you just look at it as under the magnifying glass, and all of a sudden you see another world, and it's talking to you and telling you things. And it's like, well, the world is really magical, you know. There, you don't have to look anywhere. It's all right around you. You have everything you need within, as you said earlier, and all you have to do is look outside and see what beautiful things you've created that are already existing and there to empower you.
Exactly, and that's the choice that each one of us has to make. Which world are we going to claim is real? Like, how did you decide that that world for you was more real and it was magical and it was, like, exciting to be in compared to the world that a lot of people live in out in the day-to-day?
Right, right. And it's so different because, you know, it's mystical, it's magical, and it's metaphysical, and it's just, well, words don't describe it, as you know. And it's, I've had periods of time when I've been in another state, and I've walked outside, and everything is literally crystalline. You know, the trees and the sky, and everything is just sparkling like a crystal. And I was with a friend who wasn't seeing it, and I was describing what I was seeing, and he was in awe about it because it was just so different.
Well, then we would have to say that beauty is in the eyes of the beholder.
Very good, of course. Right,
you know?
Right.
So very what good. Is it? Like, how did you come to that point that you chose your being, like in your essence, chose to see the beauty? Because you really begin to see beyond the filters or the human wrapping to really what's going on. Like, what inside of you made that choice? Or how did that happen for you?
Right, right. Well, as you said, it's a process. And the way that I see the world now is that it's pretty much cartoon-like, and it's almost like as if it's wrapped in some kind of cocoon, and the cocoon of the ego, you could say. And that is so restrictive and so uncomfortable and so unpleasant and so repetitive. It just cycles that keeps going on and on and on. And to think in duality is just impossible now. And so, you know, when I see things going on in the world, I just get that this is all a stage play. And events are created for certain reasons, and I don't care who's creating them, and I don't really need to know who's making terror events or who's taking over the world or if it's reptilians or Dracos or Greys or whatever. It doesn't really matter, because if you focus on that, you are what you focus on.
Well, I happen to feel like, you know, the light is taking over the world, and it's just revealing, because so much light is coming in.
Yeah.
It's revealing the places that aren't of that. And when you describe, like, the cocoon, maybe it's the human veil, you know, the human fabric and the human veils that human beings have created, you know,
yes.
to exist in, you
yes.
know? And when you get to say, I don't want to play anymore, you know, that's not my reality.
Right.
You go out and, you know, it's literally a choice. And
yes.
so we have the choice to stay in our center, to stay in a place of neutral and observe life, rather than to have an opinion and a judgment and a blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
We observe, and it almost then starts to cut through the veil, and you begin to see, wow, there's like something amazing going on. I mean, St. Germain talks about it as the next golden age, you know, and supposedly there's been seven, you know, to live in. And I'm feeling it. I have to say, I'm living it inside of my reality, you know?
Yep.
And I'm witnessing other people also living in it and dropping the places of not being good enough and doubt and the human stories to accept what's the divine reality that's going on.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And, you know, when we talked about bubbles, that people have studied cell phones and what they do, and when they take a photograph using a certain lens, it shows the person that's holding the cell phone in a literal cocoon, a bubble of static. And so that's something that is very real. And we can choose to separate ourselves from the realities that are organic and authentic and divine. But it's just so much more exciting to not do the repetitious thing and the thing that everybody else is doing and following the crowds, and break away and see what's really there behind the facade.
Yes, I had a guru for 25 years, Guru Maharaji, and he used to say that if you follow the herd, you'll step in the shit. You know, and it's like it's so true. So
yep.
So when we find our own path and we trust it enough to walk it. And I personally believe there's as many paths to God as there are human beings, because we've all done our descent from source.
Yes.
And picked up some debris along the way. And through the ascent, we're clearing all of that. And we each have to find what is our path, you know, and sometimes we're in paths with others or groups or whatever. And yet our individual soul and heart know what's right for us and what is our path. And, you know, I haven't been able to follow the beaten path, you know, for a really long time. But
right.
I just have to say that the path that I've cut within me, and it sounds like the path that you've cut within you, and probably many of us on this call have cut, it's like, wow, this is, you know, we're finally there. I think that's what I feel more than anything, you know, why we took this human journey for eons of time through the Earth dimension and got caught on the wheel of karma.
Mm-hmm.
And came and incarnated and all of that. It's finally over. For those who are conscious enough to get it, for many of us, this will be our last incarnation on Earth. I call it my last tour of duty.
Right.
And, you know, and but it's coming to an end because we're waking up to what's real. We're
right.
waking up to the fact that we were never separated from the One. We just created a reality separate from it, and as we let that go, we begin to see we're connected to this magnificent presence that the trees, as you described, the crystalline energy, trees breathe just like we breathe, and the earth is just so magnificent, really. And our Creator has been waiting for our return, which is only the light, you know, the light of who we are. Everything else, like all the dogma and stuff, was created by humans.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we really come back to holding the light of who we truly are in every cell of our being? And then we have access to multidimensional aspects of our being. We have all the multidimensional aspects of the soul, which there's many, begin to all line up, and we begin to function as a whole being right here on the earth. And I think that's what has to happen before we complete our earth journey here.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And we can do that, and that can happen instantaneously. So many people have the belief system that that has to be something you work on, or you need a DNA activation, or you need to go here or go there or do a workshop. It's instantaneous because it already is. So all
that's
of those...
That's so true. It is already is, but it is a razor's edge path. Like, you have to walk it so...
Yes.
deeply, where you don't allow yourself to entertain a mind spin or a doubt or a fear or a blah, blah. You
right.
know, you just allow yourself. It's almost like coming into the full center of who you are and living from your heart, from your soul, in absolute trust and walking through. And you're right, I think it could happen pretty quickly, but because, you know, so many of us have had so many human hang-ons, fabric-y, for lack of a better term, stuff, human stuff that we've had to operate through,
mm-hmm.
it seemed really difficult. But once you make the pop through, it's easy to say, oh yeah, well look, here I am in this other dimension, and it wasn't so hard. But I have to tell you, I walked through the valley of the shadow of death
yeah.
of my ego over
yeah.
and over and over again to get there.
Me
and
too.
You have to be... You know, and you have
yeah.
to be willing to take that journey and say, okay, I know it's not real and every part of my body is shaking or resisting or whatever it's happening to do, and then you break through, you know?
Yes.
Or maybe sometimes
yes.
you can't see that clearly, but you have absolute trust and
yes.
you're just going.
Yes.
So it's not an easy path, but once you begin to understand how it works, you stop looking right, you stop looking left, you stop looking at, you know, asking someone else how you do it.
Yep.
You begin to find it deep within you, and you trust it and walk it.
Oh, absolutely. That's so beautifully said. And like you said, there's a path to the divine within each of us, and some people will be attracted to the various Lemurian and Atlantean. Others will be drawn towards Pleiadian, Arcturian, or some other form of galactic civilization or whatever, from the many places that we've been over infinity. So,
well, they're all places we've passed through. But the truth is, the real breakthrough from my experience is when you own it inside of your own heart and your own soul, mm-hmm. and it becomes alive mm-hmm. for you, and it's not, you know, yes, we've come through Sirius, we've come through all of these, but you don't stop at any place along the way.
Yes.
You pass through it, and you
yes.
keep going.
Yes.
And so you're holding it all fully, the whole universe, fully through your own being.
Oh, that's beautifully said. Beautifully said. And just and don't stop. Just be, you know, and smell the roses. There's more beyond. Just keep going through whatever he has been. And that's one of the things that I think I'm working on is the idea of just going, and going, and continuing until I'm absolutely sure that I'm in the center of the center.
But it happens in the quietness of our own being, like when we're going to sleep or we're waking up or we meditate. That's where it all is. It's deep within the very center of our heart. And as we begin to, as with this example recently, that how I've been feeling it, you know, it's like when I go in, it's like bringing the genie of who Deborah is in the world, and I'm working on a lot of projects now, and so I'm busy in the world, and it's like, and then I bring it in when it all stops at the end of the day. I bring it in, and it bathes in this place within my heart that's so vast that for me that's where the universe opens. And then when I start my day, I start my day with my awareness in my heart and breathing, and I meditate. And then the genie that's been purified through this deep place within me, like a physical place within mm-hmm. me, then starts to do her day. And, you know, I don't get snagged anymore, you know, and probably because I'm saying that it might happen and I'm open to that. But it's been a while that it's like, I just keep moving through whatever is before me, and I'm beginning to see. It's like I can sit here and just see the whole universe. I can see the galactic center, the central sun, as we move out into the Milky Way. There's Sirius and all the different planets, but it's all inside. Like, that's where we have access to everything.
Right.
Deep inside of us.
Right.
And so at the end of the day, the part of me, because we need a healthy ego to function in the world and be able to create and manifest and do what we do, but and then we bring it back in. It's like I feel like it's okay, now I bring the genie back in the bottle. And so the genie is like used creatively rather than how it used to be for me, where I'd go on a mind spin about something or this happened or that happened. Like, I just don't. It's not used. My creative energy is not used for that anymore. It's mm-hmm. it's just being it gets reorganized, I guess you could say, every night as I sleep. But
yes.
I know that it takes practice to get to that point, you know, and obviously you've done your work, and many people on this call, I'm sure, have done their work. But it's like to just trust, you know, to keep going back and to just breathe. You know, it's like mm-hmm. there's a saying, sort of the Holy Trinity within us is the I Am or the divine within our hearts, the higher mental body, and the breath. And the higher mental body is like the mental body of the soul, not the mental body of the self, but the mental body of the soul. And as we feel that connection between the deepest place within our heart, the original part of ourselves, and use the higher mental body and the breath, it brings us into a state of neutral that almost penetrates the veils of the humanness, of the humanness that we've lived in. And we begin to see and perceive this whole new world, whether we call it the new earth or, you know, the ancient universe. But something is happening and birthing from within many of us right now.
That's a good that you brought that up, because I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what you feel. I mean, you know, we don't know what we're birthing for sure because it hasn't happened yet. But if you could share what your thoughts about that, that would be something of interest.
Well, I think we're birthing this, our original consciousness, number one, the original aspect of our soul. Like, that's what birthing. And then I can speak to something that I feel like I'm birthing in the world. Like, the School of Healing and Enlightenment was given to me by the Ascended Masters, specifically Saint Germain and Master Hilarion, to bring in. And what it is a school that is trains people in fifth dimensional consciousness through business consciousness and business healing, dynamic living and aging, care for the earth, eventually science. And I'm watching this come together in a way that no human being could ever create. We have an amazing board of directors, and one of the board of directors said in the last board of directors meeting, he said, you know, fifth dimensional consciousness is happening all over the world right now. And he said he feels SOHI, which is School of Healing and Enlightenment, will help bridge all of that. Because we all live in so many different places and different countries. And how do we begin to create, whether we call it a new earth platform, mm-hmm, that we can all link into? Because obviously the government isn't working, and the spiritual hierarchy, who are like the ascended masters and guides on the other side, that are working so directly with anyone that is open and needs help right now, or just helping to create this new earth and this new consciousness. But they've given me this platform to bring many people into it. It will never belong to any person, any group, but will always belong to the earth as it is awakening into this state of divine consciousness. And there will be education at many levels, and we'll actually be building a school, a center for healing and enlightenment in Asheville, that the master said they want to walk among us. They want to be, you know, this, how do we begin to function through our multidimensional self and connect with multidimensional worlds? I mean, I see it, and it sounds weird for me to even say it, so I won't go any further with that. Mm-hmm. But then to have satellite schools all over the world, mm-hmm, that begin to unite this consciousness so that we can create and build this new earth. You know, mm-hmm, there's so many people doing it, you know, in a way, but how do we unify and really come together? And it's a place where, you know, there's so many ways that egos clash or opinions clash. But when we're really functioning from a heart-based reality in service to the one, there's only expansion. You know, there's only, it's amazing what happens when we all realize it's not my opinion or my idea, but we're unifying over what's the highest and the best in any given moment. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. So I know that the School of Healing and Enlightenment is a piece, and I'm sure there'll be many pieces to help build this new world. I mean, with the hammer and the nails in the new world, because in the etheric or in the fifth dimensional realm, it's already existing. You're experiencing it. I'm experiencing it. Many people are experiencing it. Mm-hmm. How do we come together and make it strong?
Right, right. Well, it does seem like there's a web, a beautiful creation, a tapestry almost being created, floating above the earth, and it's kind of it has all the different colors and golds and the rest of it, and it's being created by us, and it's both old and new, and at some point it may just rise like magic to separate from the dross, I guess, of the things that we know we don't want anymore, the duality and the pain and the struggle and the fear and all the illusions and the fake governments and the corruption and the rest of it. We know that those cannot continue to exist and have the kind of world that we truly desire.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, and I can't say that I have an answer, but I can say that I am living in that other world that you're, mm-hmm, describing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the other one, I think it's fascinating, like you say, to watch the cartoon and to see what's occurring, but you know it's not real. You know what I mean? It's like,
right,
and it appears real, and, you know, someone could drop a bomb or, you know, anything could happen, but not real. And
right.
yet what we're experiencing is real. And what I've been shown is that as we awaken, human beings awaken, that we become the, what would you call it, like the link
mm-hmm.
for this webbing to come back, to come into another level of mass consciousness and to come and be firmly rooted on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like we're going to rise above and live in another dimension. We're bringing that dimension that already exists, like this fifth dimensional school that I'm talking about. It already exists in the etheric. It already exists in the fifth dimension. And I'm seeing it so clearly in certain places and where there's certain temples above the earth and things like that. And but it's us as humans that have to be the vessel for it to come and anchor on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that world that you talked about, that you see, you feel, that I feel many people are feeling, how is it that you are bringing it through your body onto the earth?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure your show has a lot to do with that, you know, and you know, other ways. But I've been asked to go to, like, sacred sites on the earth from time to time, you know, and literally the group becomes a conduit for these energies to happen, like opening the fifth dimensional cities of light. Like, I mean, I can't do that. Who am I, you know? But it's like they're working from above, and we are the anchor on the ground. I was
mm-hmm.
asked a couple of years ago by the Sisterhood of the Goddess, who are the female masters, to do a women's retreat in Iona, Scotland. And I was like, well, sure, you know, I'd love to go to Iona, but I didn't really know anything about what it was about. I just said, sure, and, you know, enough people know me that said, okay, let's do it. And so we got there, and we were contacted by the Druids, these ancient beings that hold the original ancient wisdom. And on our last day, we were asked to bring the divine feminine energy from its source in creation through our bodies into the ley lines of the earth. And we were completely all blown away. Like, how is this happening, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of that going on. In Mount Shasta, especially this last year, it's always about so much planetary work going on, you know? And there's just these things happening that we just step back and we go, wow, we are the conduits. It's like we are the ones the world has been waiting for.
Mm-hmm.
And, the you know, people talk about the second coming of Christ, you know? It's what's awakening within our own hearts. That's our divine consciousness, you know, to be, you know, the living Christ on the earth, to awaken
right.
to that state of consciousness within us and live on the earth. And through
right.
that, I honestly have no idea what's going to happen in that other world. You know, I've heard theories, but I only pretty much live by my experience to know what's actually true for me. And
mm-hmm.
one of the things that's really true is this world that's opening, that when we're willing to release, it's like the last vestiges of our ego and our struggle and our humanness to live through our divinity. Like, I don't know, this whole other world opens, and it's pretty magical.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When you were talking about the ley lines and the Druids, of course, the Druids had a big presence here in the place where I live, and they dedicated a light in the center of town, and there's a pentagram that it's at the center of, and they still have a big presence here.
Where
and,
do you live?
I beg your pardon?
Where do you live?
In Placerville, California, where they discovered okay. gold, there's Sutter's Mill is nearby, and Angel's mm-hmm. Camp, and in this town, Placerville, was where the gold rush occurred, and there's a Masonic building, and the Druids had a big presence here for quite a while, and now it's kind of an unseen presence. They're there, but you don't see them.
Wow, it sounds like you live in a magical place.
Oh, yeah, well, plus it's in a high energy vortex, and across the canyon from where I live, there was a healer who healed people for about 30 or 40 years, and they would come by train and car and and cart and horse and walk, and it was amazing. They'd walk in, and within 5 minutes, they were healed and walked out. And
wow!
So there's a lot of healing energy in this area, and I feel like this is the place where I'm supposed to be. So whether that's true or not, here I am.
Well, it's obviously true because there you are.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That's all that exists ultimately, you know?
Yeah.
How do we become so present where we are that's all that exists, and then these other realms start to open? But if our mind or our thoughts or our doubts, or should I be somewhere else, you know, all those different things that humans can do, those are like the filters that don't allow us to see the truth. But when we fully allow ourselves to be where we are, that's why, you know, you're filled with mystic and magic, because look at where you live, you know, and of course that's where you're supposed to be, because that's where you are.
Right.
And how do we all come to that point of being so fully where we are that we become so present that the presence within us begins to open?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's beautifully said. Beautifully said. I struggled with being here for many years, and it was my ego that was resisting it, because I came from a big city, San Francisco, and I was just horrified at the crushing silence. And then, you know, so you're having to face your own thoughts and your fears and everything else. And I had no money, and but yet I was on this beautiful piece of land, and there are no street lights, and you can look up and see the stars. And anyway, it's been a long, long walk, and it seems like it anyway. And I look out now, and I see lights in the sky that are not stars, and they move. And sometimes I watch them for a while, and I don't know what they are. You know, I'm not going to put a label on them, but I just know that they're there, and that this spot is some kind of interdimensional portal. So, goodness knows.
Yeah, when you were describing it, it sounded, you know, coming from San Francisco and how you described it, it sounds like you ended up in heaven.
Yes.
You know, and you had to grow into it.
Yes.
Or relax into it, we could say.
Yes. Yes. Very good. Very well said. And over the years, you know, I've just kind of gotten rid of everything, television and radio and things that are distractions. And it's a continuous process of refinement, because there's always something to distract. But being present is a key, as you said, to opening the present of yourself.
And that's the magical, mystical doorway that we all have to pass through.
Mm-hmm.
When we finally give up all of our thoughts and all the things that hijack our consciousness and allow ourselves to live in our consciousness in the present moment, that's where the magic happens. That's when all things are known. And it's not known with a prediction of the future or the past. It's known in the present as to what existence itself is. And then all the mystery unfolds to us.
Oh, yes, yes. And then it can only happen when in the present, because it can't happen in the past or the future. It can only happen in the now, and that's eternally changing.
That's so beautifully said. Yeah, it's so beautifully said. And that's why, as human beings, when we shift out of our concepts and our structures and our ideas and our belief systems, you know, I was at the gym the other day, and this man that I was talking to said, "Well, I don't believe in past lives." And I said, "A mind is like a parachute, and it only functions in it when it's open. Just because you don't believe in it doesn't mean it happens." And we went into this deep conversation, and he was like, "Whoa," you know, it was like he just really opened and stepped back, and he goes, "Wow, you know things that I know nothing about." You know,
uh-huh.
He was like, you know, and all of a sudden you could see that parachute start to open and go, oh, it's unlimited potential here. You know, I mean, I really thought that, but it's like, it might be different than I think, because he had his definite opinions about what was going on in the world, and you could see it in his body language, like he was invested.
Uh-huh.
Like, whoa, you know, like, you know, and, but he got it, you know, and I think, you know, it's like, that's what you were saying, you know, people can change really quickly, you know, and it's like, we have to be willing to be present and step forth with what we know if the door is open, rather than just say, oh, that person will never get it, or they're limit, you know. But to be, to allow ourselves to be and to share what our experience is, and then others hold it as a potential, and they begin to have that experience with inside of them in whatever way that they can.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of like that the childlike essence is endlessly curious about what's around the next bend. And it's almost like being in a state of just constant curiosity and awe at everything that unfolds or unravels in front of us. And I've worked to reduce my belief systems dramatically because they're so limiting and so and they're just basically boring to after a while. They just, you know, it's like, okay, I've heard that before. And to just have an open mind that's just clear and to just be is so amazing. I think when people start opening their minds and using that parachute or jumping to see if they can fly and have wings, they'll discover that there's a lot more going on than they realized.
Yeah. You know, people say that sometimes, you know, they come up and they're afraid to jump, you know, and, mm-hmm. and I'll always say, it's only when you jump that you discover your wings, you know,
mm-hmm.
otherwise they're kind of dormant. But once we really let go, and I know for me, and it sounds like for you as well, you know, you've come to the edge so many times and you've just jumped. And after a while, you always trust that you're going to be able to fly to the next place or to have the next experience.
Right.
And it's
right.
just... You know, to not let doubt or fear hold us back in any way. Because when we get who we are, we're like these magnificent beings of consciousness and light, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and only thing that holds us from that full expression of that in any present moment, any given moment, is a thought form or a belief in something else. And,
yes.
And not to allow that thought form or that belief to hijack our consciousness, because most of us lived in a state of pure hijack. Most of our life, we kept growing,
yes.
but we got hijacked a lot. And when you don't allow your, I don't know what it is, but the self, any aspect of the self or the ego structure to hijack you,
mm-hmm,
there's
mm-hmm.
absolute freedom. And, you know, even the ego that has, like, fought and resisted so much of the way at some level, once it gets it, it's on board, you know? And that's like the higher mental body. The ego is part of the higher mental body that says, I'm in. I can see I've gone as far as I can go on my own. And there's
mm-hmm.
a whole nother aspect deep within me that knows how to take me the rest of the way. And it's connected to divine intelligence and pure potentiality. And I'm going for the ride. And,
uh-huh.
and then the magic begins to happen.
Uh-huh. Wow, I just love what you're saying, because it's true. You know, it's wonderful to hear this, and people need to hear it because we forget.
Yeah, until we don't anymore.
Well, you know, this is an earthly maze. It's been kind of a setup to distract and to, you know, take us off our path. And I find that when I go into websites, you know, I'm on Facebook and the rest, and the more intensely I get involved with the thought forms, the deeper I get drawn into the virtual worlds. But sometimes I just have this thought, I'll just shut it down, walk away, do something else, go outside and take your shoes and socks off and go barefoot for a minute.
mm-hmm. And then you come right back.
Right. and we can just go through these doors, the interdimensional doors, at our, you know, at any moment, you know. You can consider the literal doors to your house as an interdimensional portal into another world.
That's an interesting way to look at it, yes. That's how I look at the heart, you know.
It's
like the interdimensional portal into the other world. It literally is the portal into the next dimension of being.
Absolutely.
And because the Ajna Center, the mind, the third eye chakra, literally, anatomically, is connected to all the other chakras.
Mm-hmm.
And so it repeats the story. But the deeper, and then we have the heart that is veiled a little bit. But as we go beyond all of it, we literally open a whole nother field of our own body, of our own anatomy, of our soul, of our light. And it's pretty amazing.
Absolutely. And we don't need to bring light in from outside of ourselves. We just need to let our own light shine.
Right.
But well,
sometimes it's nice to bring in light externally as well.
Well, Deborah,
like the seven planes.
Are almost out of time. And I wanted you to be able to, you know, have a final thought or share what you're doing and maybe mention your websites again before we have to end the show.
Okay, thank you. Well, first of all, I want to say this has been really fun, so thank you.
You're welcome.
I do a monthly teleclass. I'm not doing it in November because I'm traveling, but if people want to sign up for my newsletter, it's soulfocusedhealing.com, and they can sign up. And then I do a monthly teleclass. I did it a long time, 8 years. I've been doing it for 8 years. It just got reduced to $11 so that more and more people can work with the ascension process. It's specifically working with the ascension process. So if you're interested in that and joining us on that, soulfocusedhealing.com. And then... you know, the new project, I'd love for everyone to look at it and connect into it. It's schoolofhealingandenlightenment.com. I don't know if we just bought Sohi Global, but I don't think it's running yet. So schoolofhealingandenlightenment.com to connect in. And I know that there's probably many teachers out there. We're open to teachers that really understand this dimensional consciousness and supporting humanity to move into it. So there's room for all of us. It's just something given to the earth, and it's for all of us. So if you feel drawn to that. And I'm doing another 18-month program in London that starts in November, second week in November, if anyone wants to learn healing. It's a course of healing and enlightenment. But other than that, people can connect with me on Facebook. I'm not a big Facebook person, but I do post, and you can check on Soul Focused Healing, and as well as School of Healing and Enlightenment. We have all of that. So
wonderful.
I'd love to connect with anyone that would like to connect with me.
Well, thank you so much, Deborah. This has been a wonderful conversation, and I just can't thank you enough for sharing yourself with us tonight. And I'm sure that you'll be coming back to share again with us sometime soon. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Night.